From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Dr. Cairns has referred to 2 Corinthians as a manual for successful Christian warfare. It is a book that reveals the many aspects of Paul's ministry, showing more of the man himself than any other of his epistles. In the course of this epistle, the apostle explains his motives and his ministry. He exhorts the Corinthian believers to lives of godliness, and he presents the clearest vindication of his apostleship to be found in any of his writings. Chief among Paul's emphases is the glory of the gospel of Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, All Turned to Holiness. The text is Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 20. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. Happy day when all things shall be consecrated, and the horses' bells shall ring out holiness to the Lord. That day has come to me. Do I not make all things holy to God? These garments, when I put them on or take them off, shall they not remind me of the righteousness of Christ Jesus my Lord? Shall not my work be done as unto the Lord? Oh, that today my clothes may be vestments, my meals sacraments, my house a temple, my table an altar, my speech incense, and myself a priest. Lord, fulfill thy promise, and let nothing be to me common or unclean. Let me in faith expect this. Believing it to be so, I shall be helped to make it so. As I myself am the property of Jesus, my Lord may take an inventory of all I have, for it is altogether his own, and I resolve to prove it to be so by the use to which I put it this day. From morning till evening I would order all things by a happy and holy rule. My bells shall ring. Why should they not? Even my horses shall have bells. Who has such a right to music as the saints have? But all my bells, my music, my mirth, shall be turned to holiness, and shall ring out the name of the happy God.
Thank you.
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
2 Corinthians gives us a unique view of certain things. First of all, it gives us a unique view of Paul himself. This is the most autobiographical of all the epistles of Paul. You will get more of Paul himself in 2 Corinthians than any other part of the New Testament. They all, if you look at them, will show you Paul the worker. So does this book. But this doesn't only show you the hands of Paul at work. This book not only shows you the feet of Paul tramping the missionary trails of this world. This book draws aside the veil and it shows you the heart of Paul, the mind of Paul, the deep motions that moved within this man, made him what he was in the work of God. Here you get a picture of Paul himself. That's why 2 Corinthians is such a vital book for every preacher. There's more to preaching than having the gift of the gab and having kiddos. There's more to preaching than having a little learning and knowing what a Greek or Hebrew word may mean. There's more to preaching than having a systematic theology. There's more to preaching than having even the ability to analyze and to outline and to set forth in some cogent fashion a sermon. If you want to know what it is to be a true minister of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians will show you the heart of the greatest minister of them all. It's a unique view of Paul. There's a unique view of the Christian ministry generally. There's a unique view of church discipline and the spirit in which it is to be administered. And then there's a unique view of the nature of the Satan-inspired opposition that God's people endure, and the constant battle for the faith that must be waged against that opposition. These are the things that Paul deals with. And as he deals with them, he does so very positively. This is an epistle, not of bitterness, though there's strong denunciation in it. But it's not an epistle of bitterness. It's not an epistle of frustration. This is an epistle of consolation. This is an epistle of instruction. The aim of 2 Corinthians was to strengthen the faithful. That's the first thing. And the second thing, it was to win back those who had been deceived by Judaizing preachers. To strengthen the faithful, to win back those who had been deceived. And it was entirely successful. That's the good news. How do I know that? Well, there is a letter that is not part of the New Testament, but it nonetheless deserves close attention. It was written some 40 years after this by a man called Clement of Rome. He was a presbyter or an elder in the city of Rome. And he wrote to the church in Corinth. And just 40 years after this, or should I say even 40 years after this, such was the success of Paul's intervention here, that Clement of Rome could testify to and celebrate the unity of the church in Corinth and the fidelity of the church in Corinth to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this was a success. Therefore, I think that we can say that in 2 Corinthians, we have what I will call a manual for successful spiritual warfare. Maybe I should call it a gospel manual for successful spiritual warfare. Now, let's understand what we're doing in these messages. I'm preaching an overarching message that will sum up the whole content. I am not going through in an outline of the book. That would take a long time. This book, actually, is not in some ways the easiest to outline, and yet I think on study it does give you a very simple outline. If you want to follow it, I'll give you it now. The first section deals with Paul's explanation of his motives and ministry. Then, from chapter 6, he will go on to give an exhortation to the Christians, to godly living and Christian fellowship. Then from chapter 10 through 12, he will give a vindication of his whole apostleship. And he wraps it all up in a mighty conclusion that leads to the great Trinitarian blessing of the last verse of chapter 13. So that's a scant outline. I'm not going to take time to fill in the details. You'll have to come to the theological hall to get those. But that's the outline. That's not the sermon, however. I want us to look at this as a gospel manual for successful spiritual warfare. And I have three simple observations. And again, in case I don't get through them all, or in case you have difficulty when I'm in full spate, as it were, of picking out the main headings, let me give you the outline. It's a very simple, very logical outline. Number one, the gospel presents a glorious message. Number two, that message is opposed by malicious men. And number three, those malicious men are always defeated by a spiritual ministry. And under those three simple observations, you can sum up the mighty thrust of the message of 2 Corinthians. Now let's start at the beginning. As we think of this gospel manual for successful spiritual warfare, let's start with the gospel. The gospel presents a glorious message. Now, 2 Corinthians, if you haven't read this book recently, I commend it strongly to you. Because 2 Corinthians contains some of the most glorious gospel texts in all the New Testament. Some of the mightiest declarations of gospel truth are found right here in 2 Corinthians. Now, understand, this is not like the book of Romans. This is not a formal theological treatise like the book of Romans is. But still, it is a glorious statement of evangelical truth. The focus of the whole message of the gospel in 2 Corinthians is Christ, his person, and his work. You remember that lovely verse in chapter 8, verse 9? Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that wondrous grace, all the glory of God in its mighty fullness shines in Jesus Christ. We were reading today in chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why is the devil so careful to blind the minds of unbelievers? What's he afraid of? What does the devil fear more than all the armies of Christendom? This is what he fears. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Man, let's get a grip of that this morning. Let that penetrate our soul. There is a social work for Christians to do. There is help for the poor. There is a work of education and rehabilitation. There is all that that Christians may do. But never let us be derailed from the main task. The devil's not afraid of all the sociological and educational programs in the world. That doesn't scare the devil one wee bit. He's in charge of the sociology of America. He's in charge of the educational system in America. The devil's not a bit worried about who wins the next presidential election. He's in charge of the political maneuverings in America. But there's one thing the devil is afraid of, And that's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I wonder, therefore, why on earth are God's people pandering to the world, playing with the world, messing around with things that are of little importance? Why do they neglect the great thing of letting the light of the gospel shine? I am not preaching isolation, by the way. I am not preaching the Anabaptistic notion that God's people are to withdraw entirely from human society. But what I am saying is, we do not make these things the means for changing America. We make them merely a vehicle to get the gospel of Christ out there. For that's what the devil's afraid of. He blinds men, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen then to what he says in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light. Notice how he ties up the words here. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man, if you would want to see the glory of God, says Paul, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you want your mind suffused with the glory of God, then meditate upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When you think of the filth and the garbage and the uncleanness of the world that God's people are stuffing into their minds, is it any wonder they can't see the glory of God? Is it any wonder they're blind to the great realities of eternity? Is it any wonder they have no vision for souls? A man who can't see the glory of God can see nothing. In thy light we shall see light, and in none other light. Oh, that we would want to see the glory of God. I can't believe a man is genuinely saved who has no desire to see the glory of God. My friend, if your prayer is with Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You'll only see that glory as you meditate and focus upon the person, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him shines all the fullness of the glory of God. And thus, and this is how Paul argues through the third and fourth chapters, especially in chapter 3 now. This is how he argues. Thus, the gospel far surpasses the law. If you look at chapter 3, verses 7 and following, this is his argument. The law was a ministration of death and of condemnation. Yet, when God gave it to Moses, it was attended by great glory. Indeed, the face of Moses shone with that glory. But Paul reminds the Corinthians that Moses put a veil over his face. Now, why did he do that? There are two great reasons. Number one, once and for all to teach the Israelites, and this is something the Judaizers were forgetting or denying. And people today still forget and deny it. But the number one reason was that they should understand that men cannot face the glory of God on the basis of law. If you ever try to come face to face with the glory of God on the basis of your legal obedience, that glory will burn your soul in hell. No man, on the basis of law and self-merit and self-righteousness, can look upon God and live. That was the first reason. The veil was there. Why? Because it's a testimony. You can't look on the glory of God because of your law keeping.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.